Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, leaky black. The Eye on College Basketball Podcast is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook, make every moment more. Matt Norlander is here with me, and you know that because if you're watching on YouTube, you can see him, and you can also hear him banging on his computer key really, really, really loudly.
I'll stop. I'm sending out the tweet to indicate that we're going live on YouTube. I won't. Don't.
If you are watching on YouTube, smash your keyboard, smash the like button. You're Brandon Davies, as far as I'm concerned. You have consent. And don't forget why you're here to also subscribe to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel. Let's get into it. It's Friday of Championship Week, otherwise known as Selection Sunday Eve. It's always tremendous. Best of the best are usually playing. Bubble teams constantly in action. The games start early. They end late. It's one of the, I think, best days of the year in the sport. And this Friday should be no different. Purdue, Michigan State get things underway noon Eastern. Colorado State, New Mexico going to conclude things roughly 14 hours later. In between should be one thrill after another all over the country. But nothing, and I mean nothing, is going to compare, I don't think, to the scene. We're going to get inside Madison Square Garden just before the sun sets over the Hudson when UConn and St. John's take the court for the first of two Big East tournament semifinals. Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame coach Rick Pitino on one side, future Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame coach Dan Hurley on the other. Deadleg, you're going to be there, I believe. How much fun is it going to be in Midtown Manhattan tonight?
The building's going to be incredible, and yeah, I mean, listen, we've got Hurley versus Pitino for what, the fourth time now in a year. They met in the tournament last year. I was there in Albany. UConn obviously won, and then UConn won a couple of close games this season. UConn, no issues against Xavier, almost, you know, just ho hum. And then, yeah, the way that St. John was able to play with such intent and poise and continue to win. If you're really keyed in, then you're aware of this, but if you have forgotten, since Pitino's famous laterally slow, or they're not laterally quick speech, St. John's has not lost a game yet. They're 6-0, and this is, it's significant for the program. You know, St. John's last played on a Friday night in Midtown Manhattan in the middle of March in the year 2000. Okay. And no, I'm not singing that song right now. Your boy's barely on 4 hours of sleep. But the fact that it took him 24 years to get back to a Friday semi, and it happened in the first season of Pitino, this is why you hire him, obviously. I think St. John's is in the field no matter what. I think the win over Seton Hall got him in. And we'll get to some bubble stuff and everything. We got a tour around the country from the past few days and a few here. But, yeah, it's a wonderful thing for college basketball, obviously, because of the relevance Patino brings. We thought in the preseason they'd be a tournament team or a fringe one. I was like, I think I'm almost positive, GP, when we did our Big East preview show in October, I think I said I was putting St. John's in Dayton. Close enough. I think they'll actually dodge it, I think. But we have at least one bid thief on the board, and we could have more. But yeah, for UConn, St. John's, Hurley, Patino, UConn is playing for the pride of winning a Big East championship. And that is a significant thing for this program, but that's it. I mean, other than that, there's really nothing there. We've gone over the one seed scenarios and why it doesn't carry as much significance in terms of who's the overall number one this year. UConn's path has already been carved out. But I can't wait for the game. It is if you're keeping track at home and almost have you're used to this, these Big East semis being a 7 o'clock or a 6:30. No. This is a 5:30 Eastern tip on Friday at the Garden. So that's going to kick off a pretty intense, the Friday window is going to be incredible. So yeah, I'm very, very excited about it. Can't wait to see. I'd love to get a great close game. Patino told a reporter yesterday, I believe it was. I saw it put onto my timeline. I feel like he said this after they lost to UConn in February as well. So this might've been recycled from February, but I think it was yesterday. He was asked what St. John's is going to need to do in order to beat UConn. And I think he recycled the line by saying he's going to need 6 UConn players to catch COVID. Rick, I get that. I get the sentiment. I think Rick has caught COVID 6 times himself here. So I get where he's coming from on that, but yes, they're going to need a monumental effort there. And my last thing on this is all UGP. I did find it interesting when Patino sat down at his presser on Thursday. One, had never seen the press room at MSG since they remade the press room, and it wasn't where they used to have it, you know, a decade ago. I had never seen so many people in that room ever. I mean, just packed, beyond packed there. And when he sat down, he said, I think it was after the Seton Hall loss, and if not, it was the loss before that. He said, I had a sit-down meeting with the leadership at St. John's, and we talked about a few things and, you know, how they've got patience and he knows we're going to get there. And, you know, maybe I was being a little too hard on the guys and all this and that. And he said, it sounded like they had given up on the season. Like they thought the season was over. And to this team and to these guys, it was just beginning. And the reason why it was just beginning is March always gives you a second life in college basketball. He's absolutely right. At that point, St. John's was 14-12. Now it's completely flipped the script on its season. And I think the St. John's over Seton Hall result has got him in for sure. Seton Hall, I wonder where you'd land on this. I think it's in right now. Seton Hall 20-12, but if it's in, I think Dayton is the best case scenario.
First on St. John's, I think they're in no problem at this point. Like I wouldn't even need to sweat it if I'm Rick Pitino. And he's right that March always does give you new hope or new life, but they did, they had to finish February strong too. And they did that with wins over Georgetown, Creighton, and Butler, I believe picking up 2 quadrant one wins along the way. And you're exactly right. This is why you hire him. Imagine how dumb you must feel at these other schools trying to find basketball success. And Rick Pitino was just out there. You could have hired him whenever you wanted to. There was literally nothing preventing anybody from hiring him. And finally, St. John's was like, all right, I guess we'll do it. And now they're going to the NCAA tournament in year one. They're back, like you said, in the Big East tournament semifinals for the first time since 2000. And that scene tonight, that's going to be why you hire him. That scene. When you walk in, forget the game. We're going to throw a ball in the air. Somebody's going to tip it. Somebody's going to grab it. They're going to start playing. Somebody's going to make shots. Somebody's going to miss shots. You're going to have a winner and you're going to have a loser. Whatever. That's basketball. The scene. Forget what happens when you walk into that thing. Walk in through the tunnel, look around with 2 minutes left on the clock before starting lineups. That's why you hire him, for that scene. And he's delivered. I tell you, they've ended up where I figured they'd end up. They took a wild path to get here. I did not, on the day of that, I guess now forever famous press conference, I did not think they would respond the way that they responded. I don't believe most teams would. I don't think most coaches could bring that back together. But that's why he's one of the greatest of all time, I guess. You know, he pushed some buttons intentionally or not, but he got the results that you would want. As for Seton Hall, I don't know. I mean, like, it's they're right there. For what it's worth, Jerry Palm's got him out this morning.
He does. Interesting.
Man, don't tell Zach. I know you're going to see him. In a
I am. Yeah, no, I am. By the way, I had Zagoria confront Parrish yesterday.
Yes, no, don't tell Zach. Don't tell Zags. If you can get his computer away from him, get his computer.
No, no.
Throw it in the Hudson with the Allman Brothers albums and those Frisbees. We can't let Zags hear about this.
No, that's – oh, that's,
I don't
that's,
need my mentions getting all messed up today by Zag. I'm tired, too. I can tell you're tired. I'm tired, too.
Listen, this is always a fun show every year. But
you realize I do – what you're doing right now, I do all season.
I know, whatever. This is what makes this podcast incredible. This is going to be an amazing episode.
I do what you're doing right now. I do all season long.
I know. Well, I tell you what. I went to. I think I finally closed the computer last night at. I want to say like 2:30. And I checked Slack, and your icon button was still active. I was like, "There's no way he's still awake right now. No shot." Were you still awake at 2:30? Why were you up? I had to do my other podcast. Why were you up at that hour?
I don't know if you heard, but I ranked 26 basketball teams every
morning. You're done.
Oh, no, I'm not, babe. I'm still ranking.
Oh, no. Oh,
I'm ranking till Monday. I'm ranking till Monday.
I genuinely thought you were – okay. I thought about it. I was like, didn't you finish top 25 and won like 2 days?
No, I'm in the top 25 and won. I'm in that podcast prep document.
Oh, man.
I'm watching whatever's on. I'm living the life here in New York City.
We both are, by the way. I don't know if they're gonna get in. Here's what's kind of wild though, and I'll bring up the metrics real quick here on, and then we can talk briefly Big East and move on. Seton Hall, you know, Big East plays a double round robin, right? And it's a double round robin league that rates top three in the country, and Seton Hall went 13-7. Like, it won 13 games in that league. Metrics are kind of weird. So it's got, let's see, 5 road wins. Okay. It is nine. Ooh, hold on a second here. Is this right? It is 9. So 9 wins in quad 1 and quad 2. It's got the one. Okay. So it's got the 1Q3 loss, 9-11 in the top 2 quadrants. Overall non-conference schedule is 230. That's not great. It's not atrocious. There are some other teams that are near the cut line that have atrocious non-con strength of schedules. Overall strength of schedule is 27. Mark me down for the Hall is in as of this morning, but it is shaky, and the A-10 doesn't have a top 4 seed left. Dayton is going to get in, so we already have one bid thief that's going to come from the A-10, and if the American doesn't have FAU win its league, that's going to be a bid thief. NC State is still alive. So look out. So this is, and personally, here's I think a yearly reminder. Bid thieves are cool. Okay. It does wind up sucking for the teams that are on that cut line. Bid thieves are cool. This podcast officially endorses the bid thief notion and loves to see it. I like some chaos into the bracket there. And I like that we're going to get at least one. I would have Seton Hall narrowly in, but I'm not ultra confident. I think Dayton is without question the best case scenario for that team now.
You know the best way to not get burned by a bid stealer on the cut line?
Win your automatic bid.
Don't get on the cut line. Stop losing. Stop losing, losers.
I'm sure that's what the fans of all these teams really want to hear on the Friday before selection.
Yeah. Hey,
stop losing, losers.
Stop losing, losers. You wouldn't be on the cut line getting burned by Duquesne. You're getting Duquesne on the Friday of championship weekend. It's your fault. You're the one that kept losing, loser.
Okay.
I don't know if Seton Hall's in or not. All I know is that Jerry Palm says right now they're not. And all I know is you've made it crystal clear in this war between Team Palm and Team Zags, your Team Zags. I'm
Switzerland. That's all I am.
Yeah, I'm gonna be in the middle too. I don't want to get involved in this. All right. I don't want to get involved in this.
Zags, I want to be clear about this. He found me at MSG. He's like, tell your guy Gary. And I was like, I'll be talking to Gary in about an hour. And then GP and I had a little conference call we had to do. And then he wandered into the press room. And I was like, okay.
He was like,
Zags.
He was like, come on. I don't want to get in the middle of this. I don't feel like I need to get in the middle. I got enough things going on. I don't need to get in the middle of it. I will say, in all seriousness, if Seton Hall doesn't get there, like, kind of did it to yourself. Went 2-3 in your final five.
Yeah.
Down to, I believe, 65th in the net. I made this point on Inside College Basketball yesterday. That number in and of itself means nothing. All right. Like, that number means nothing. Teams do get at large bids with, you know, net rankings in the 60s, and teams don't. That number doesn't mean they're in, and it doesn't mean they're out. But what I am telling you is that if you are in the 60s in the net on Selection Sunday, the history of the net says you do not get in. Most teams don't. Last year, only two teams in the 60s got at large bids to the NCAA tournament. Year before that, only one. For whatever that's worth, it might be worth nothing, but what I just told you is true.
If that is true, that why that would be a little bit wild is that it's felt for a long time, and by a long time, I literally mean like a month, that we were heading to a situation, and it might still be this way. Let's use this to transition to talk about the rest of the Big East before we move on. Mm-hmm. I think we'd have one, if not two, Big East teams going to Dayton. Connecticut, Creighton, Marquette clear. We think St. John's clears. Nova could not beat Marquette a day after it barely survived against DePaul. Nova's not going. What's kind of wild is this. Okay, so Nova is 39 in the net. It's 29 BPI, 34 KenPom. Its resume numbers are not good, though. 70th in KPI, 64 in strength of record. Seton Hall, 68. KPI, 40 strength of record is their best. Everything else for Seton Hall is out. It's like 60s and 50s. I mean, 70th BPI, 61 KenPom, 68 KPI. It's a problem. Nova is 18 and 15. It has 3 quad 3 losses. It's only 3 games above 500. 15 is the most ever for at-large. It's not going to go. It just doesn't have a case. So toss them aside. It was a really, really fun game. I actually thought Nova, in the final few minutes, I thought it was going to win. It didn't. An awesome way to wrap up another incredible Thursday at the Big East tournament.
I just got like I don't even want to say it's a gift, because I think the refs might have. I think they probably got it right. But buddy,
I think they got it right. Yeah.
But it was so close. Cam Jones, at my little homie from Memphis, at the buzzer, awesome play. I mean, it's close. The whole is it out of his hand? Is the light on? That conversation it doesn't get closer than that. I mean, it was as close as it gets. My point is, though, like, it looked like Cal Neptune was like almost resigned to his fate, like, oh, buddy, it's over. And then they were like, wave it off. We're going to play 5 more minutes. And he took a deep breath. It was like, you got new life. And then they lose in overtime. I think they're out. I don't really think they even have anything to think about.
I would agree. It's just not.
And by the way, that's two, like, you know, non Villanova like years for.
It is.
Jay Wright's successor, so that gets to be a
correct.
Yep. A complicated conversation.
It is. Jay was in the building last night, had a quick hello with him. As you would expect, he'll be in studio, obviously, this weekend for CBS. Now, Providence gets the win that it had to have, and I mean had to have. Really impressive. Quick note on the game, then we can kind of break down the situation before we get to tonight here. Creighton's up early. Kim English gets a technical foul on a 9 call called against Devin Carter. He wanted to be a foul, and he lost his mind, dude. Like, he was, I'd never seen him that angry. I maybe can count on one hand the amount of times I'd ever seen a coach. Like, there's a difference between a coach really like acting up and kind of leaning into the anger versus like Kim English looked like he wanted to destroy somebody. He was fuming. He was screaming he was screaming at a Big East official, not a referee, but someone who works in the Big East office that was sitting courtside, and he was just venting. But he's like, I was sitting on press row, he was 40 feet from, I could hear him over the din, like, we're playing for our effing lives here. And from the time of the technical, they went on this huge, I mean, they were down 9, they went from down 9 to like up 8 in about 10 minutes of game time. I don't know if it correlates, Parrish, but that event changed the course of the game. Providence goes on. It beats Creighton 78-73. PC fans were just, popping the building open, man. It was, and Creighton fans, you came big, and you, and it was really impressive as well. But that was a big time game, a really fun game. Providence is now 21-12 as we sit here Friday morning. Here's what you're looking at. Your KPI number is 66. That's resume based. That's not great, but we almost never see. This is such a weird discrepancy, and this is where I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the room for the committee. It is 37th in strength of record. That is what's holding Providence up right now. 66, though. These are two resume. There's no predictive stuff in here. That's such a huge, huge 30-spot discrepancy between those two, and it's kind of similar with the predictives. BPI 43, KenPom has them at 53. They're 57 in the net. They're 9-12 in the top two quadrants, so three games under 500. We'll see. We have no. They have no bad losses there. They're 6-8 in quad one. I talked to Kim afterward. I guess he had said this on the broadcast as well, but he's like, media, you got a job too. I get it. I don't give a damn about any of your opinions on the brackets and where we're going to go. It's about the committee. They're making these decisions. They haven't decided yet. Look at our resume. Look at our wins. We don't have a single bad loss. And I get it. Providence won at home against Wisconsin. It won at home against Marquette. It won at Seton Hall, which registers as a high-level win. It won at home over Creighton. And then it got the second win over Creighton here. Those are a lot. I think it's really, really close. I do. If you made me pick right now between, and it won't, they won't, it might literally come down to Providence, Seton Hall in the committee room, but generally speaking, I don't think it will. If you made me pick between the two, Parrish, I think I'd have to take Providence over Seton Hall. I think they have the narrow edge right now. So we might have two teams going to Dayton. What are your thoughts on the Friars and what you saw?
Is Kim English married? That would seem to be the story coming out of the game. And but listen, can we stop asking Providence coaches about their marital status?
Oh my god!
Like, isn't that like, let's leave it alone for a minute. All right. Let's just leave it alone for a minute.
That was yes, that did happen. I was in the media room when it happened, and it was an awkward question. I'm gonna do what Kim English did on Thursday. I'm gonna no comment to that question. I'm gonna no comment on Kim English's marital status.
Perfect. I respect the answer. I will say, and I'm not, because I love Kim, but he's not the only coach who, in times like these, says things like that. Like, I don't care what anybody says about the bracket. It comes down to the selection committee, and it doesn't matter what, you know, these other people think. Like, I hear you, but and in fairness, I do see people sometimes on TV talking about this team's in and this team's out, and they clearly don't have any context for what, you know, they ain't really sat down and done the quad one, quad two, bad losses, strength of schedule stuff. They're just sort of saying, I see that stuff too. So if that's who he's talking about, then I agree. But the guys who it's their job, like if you see them on TV, if you hear them talking about the sport, it's actually their job to put together a bracket and seed it and display it to the world. Like, those guys know what they're doing. And if they say you're in, you probably are. And if they say you're out, you're probably not. And I know at the bottom of the bracket, like, there's always going to be one or two that are in that you thought were out, maybe one or two that are in, you know, that are out that you thought were in. But at most, it's that, usually. So I don't want to spend much time defending bracket projectors, but I just think when coaches are so dismissive of them, it takes away from the idea that they are using the same print. They've all gone through the process. They all know the principles. They all know exactly what the committee's talking about and looking at. And broadly speaking, they do a pretty good job projecting this thing.
Yeah, I would agree overall. And Providence, if it doesn't win here on Friday night and doesn't if it takes out Marquette, there's going to be I actually think there will be no doubt Providence is going to be in the tournament if it beats Marquette. If it doesn't, it's going to be close. And our buddy Jeff Borzello and I, we were talking on a few teams. We went and got a New York slice. Okay. We got a New York slice late, not from Sbarro. Don't worry. But we were talking, we were like, you know, with everything that happened today and what's going to happen Friday, I think what I said Sunday is going to prove true. I don't think Indiana State's going to get in. When you start really looking at how that cut line, it was mentioned in the chat a few minutes ago, the more bid thieves you have, actually the better the bubble becomes because the teams get better because you're shaving away,
right,
which I completely agree with. It would be a fun stunner because I love the way that Indiana State plays. And I think it would be cool. But I would be stunned. I don't think Indiana State's actually going to have the resume to compete here because we have too many teams moving up, and I bet you we get at least one more team that's floating in that last three in, first three out, that's going to wind up winning Friday and make it even tougher.
Yeah, I'm starting. If you listen to Sunday's episode, I was like, I think they're going to finish on the right side, and now as we get closer to it, you know, exactly what we said is happening. Like, you know, you're in the clubhouse. Everybody else has got holes to play. They're passing you. And the bubble's shrinking. You know, the A-10 becoming a two-bid league guaranteed now. That's bad mm-hmm. news for Indiana State. We'll see what happens in the American, but anybody other than FAU winning that is bad news for Indiana State. I think where we're at right now, they're probably going to fall on the wrong side of this thing. And it's too bad. But it is also like, you know, life is a mid-major. For better or worse.
We got a lot more to get to here on this Friday. And you know what? We're still going to give you a Final Four in one because you know that we're good there for you. But you know what? Nada, GP, if you're good with it, 926, I think it's time for some partners.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
What's up, Anderson Cooper? I lost Norlander. Did he just leave? Hey there, what's going on with you?
Hey, I know my they're knocking for housekeeping, but they didn't get here. But I just put the sign on the door. So because this has actually happened before when we've done a double hotel pod where I've had someone try and come into the room.
Yeah, it's wild. There's this thing you can do. This is gonna blow your mind. They have little signs and it says do not.
That's what I just did.
I know. Let me tell you a trick.
Oh, no. I'm not a big star like you. I'm not in a hotel every week. I'm not pre-programmed to podcast and put the sign on the door.
Let me tell you a trick. Here's a trick. Just keep this in the back of your head. You put it on before you start doing the podcast.
Well, you know what? I'm not, again, not a big star like you. I'm not used to this. I don't have this kind of routine. All right. I don't wake up every Wednesday and doing a podcast on 3.5 hours. Let me go put the sign outside the door. I only can aspire to be on top of it like you are.
I hope this experience makes you appreciate me a little bit more. That's what I'm hoping. What's up, Anderson Cooper?
Oh, is that who it was? I thought it was a March Madness preview.
I know, but I just decided I'm going to pretend it's Anderson Cooper every time. I like seeing Anderson Cooper. He brightens my day. Makes me smile.
Let's do this whip around. Let's go.
Okay. Where you want to start? Big 12 tournament? Because we got the semifinals today. Houston, Texas Tech, Iowa State, and Baylor. I know people have been calling Iowa State computer trickers for like 4 straight months, but they just keep winning. They just keep winning just about every time they play.
That is true. Yeah. We got Houston, Texas Tech, Baylor, Iowa State. I'd say there's nothing really, GP. Anything from... Like, I was following a lot trying to watch some, but nothing really from Thursday stand out in terms of results. I mean, Kansas didn't even have a competitive game Wednesday night,
right?
Which is certainly notable because I think I think KU is going to end up as a five, and we'll talk about that with them once we actually get a bracket there. So that was actually like Cincinnati rolled them, beat them by 20, and that is notable. But I don't know if there was anything else from Thursday on the court in the league. We'll get to some coaching stuff in a few, but I think it was mostly relatively nondescript.
Well, here's the problem with the Big 12, because I think you're right. We'll move on. Like, it's got all these great teams, and you get to the semifinals, and it's like, okay, you're already a one seed. You're in. Like, it lacks the drama that some of the – there's no bubble teams. There's no bid stealers. It lacks the drama of some of the other tournaments. Like, in the Big Ten, we got, you know, we got – Ohio State's back on the bubble.
Save it.
Okay. But in the Big 12, it's like, all right, Houston, you are one seed no matter what happens. And you other three fellas, you're in no matter what happens. What are we even doing?
It's true. Although if Texas Tech were to beat Houston and make the championship game, that would be pretty intriguing overall. And a great job out of Grant McCaslin if you can pull that off in year one. We'll see. Houston's going to be a one. It's a no danger. We know its path to Phoenix. So yeah, there you go. And then Baylor, Iowa State. That's just a fun clash. Like, that's a good game. I'll certainly have that up on a second screen when I'm in Manhattan. But no, but overall, yeah, there's not a ton of intrigue. Let's go Big Ten here, GP, because Ohio State ends Iowa's hopes, and that's obviously notable. We didn't have any drama with Michigan State, which is going to be in. It just avoided losing to Minnesota and making it, I think, a something we should question. I think MSU is going to get in and have room to spare here. What were your takeaways on the second round of the Big Ten quarterfinals again? Because the title game's on Sunday, we have quarterfinals going down on Friday.
Well, Wisconsin got back to its winning ways.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice to see.
To put it lightly, by the way,
you know,
yes,
they had a rough go, but that was nice. So they're it's Wisconsin Northwestern later today. Obviously, I think Ohio State is becoming the story. You know, I'm not a big believer in, like, I don't care if you change coaches in the middle of the season, but the idea that it's spark stuff. That usually doesn't happen, not at the high major level. Like, DePaul made a coaching change in the middle of the season. It sparked nothing, you know. But this thing at Ohio State's turning into quite the interesting story. Like, I don't know if Ohio State's going to get there, but they're on the bubble today. And if you can keep this thing going and upset Illinois, and it would be an upset, but upset Illinois, and, you know, now we're talking about they're in the Big Ten tournament semifinals, and – you know, does one more win get them on the right side of the bubble? That's the story in the Big Ten right now.
I don't think so. But the Big Ten is intriguing. Like, it's got a couple of questionable things. Someone in the chat is asking why Michigan State's in. I've been on that side for a long time. Michigan State right now is 9-13 in the top two quadrants. It doesn't have a single bad loss. But I think it's going to, I do think it's going to get in. If it loses and it's non-competitive on Friday here, I'm willing to have a conversation. I really am. But I think it's a 10 across the board here for the most part. I don't think it's going to wind up. If you really dig into the resume and see what Michigan State has done and the strength of schedule is played against, let me bring it up real quick here. Michigan State, because this was talked a little bit yesterday as well. Non-con overall is 40. That's going to be among the better ones for bubble teams there. Non-con strength of schedule. 6-5 in quad 2, 3-8 in quad 1. Not ideal, but it's the average net ranking of the teams it's lost against, which is another thing the committee pays attention to, is 39. By comparison, you know, New Mexico, which might have played its way in late, that it's 63. Colorado, which might be narrowly in, its average net loss is 66. Indiana State, 69. FAU, which is going to get in, it's 114. The record is better, so these things kind of balance out overall there. So that's one reason why, among others. But I'm not here to say, you know, Michigan State should be in and have plenty of breathing room. I think it should be closer than it is. I would have probably advocated for it not to be in with the loss to Minnesota, but it did get it done. Ohio State, real quick on that. I did to speak with a source on Thursday who speculated that if Diebler was to get Ohio State to the tournament, the chances of him winning the job become actually real. Like, they're, you know, it's becoming a little bit of a thing there. But it's no secret that, you know, Ohio State has targeted a few candidates and Dusty May is one of them. Louisville is also targeting Dusty May. We can get to coaching stuff in a few. but it has made this intriguing. We just saw this last year under a longer runway, a much longer runway. Rodney Terry had to get Texas to the Elite Eight to win over that job. We'll see. I don't know. It's a big decision, obviously, and the Big Ten's about to have a huge change with the structure of its conference there. Dealer's done a really good job, and yes, it has become a fun story. Can you beat Illinois on Friday? That's a 6:30 Eastern tip. We'll see. Big Ten Friday, I think it's got some fun potential overall. We usually get at least one really, really entertaining game there. That's in Minneapolis. I'm excited to see it as that tournament like really kicks up a notch.
Yeah, on the Ohio State thing, it really might just be that he got the job too late to completely prove that. And I don't even know that you can completely prove on an interim basis that you, quote, deserve a job or that you're the best candidate for the job. This might just be a nice little amazing story, and then he's a head coach somewhere else next season. But if I were Ohio State, I'd at least have to be paying attention to what's happening right now. And if I were a mid-major program or another program on the verge of maybe losing my head coach to a bigger job, I'd be paying attention to what's happening at Ohio State right now. You know, in sports, you do stumble into stuff sometimes. And you know, it's possible we're watching. I mean, I don't want to get hyperbolic, but what if he's like one of the great young coaching talents, and this is just the set of circumstances under which it became clear to the world? Again, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but you don't know. So I absolutely. I'm really intrigued by what's happening. That's going to be one of the more interesting games of the day.
Yeah, no question about it. That's a fun story. This week is, to me, on the whole, this week is, if the NCAA tournament week is at a 10, like conference championship week is a 9.8 for me. Like it is almost right there because of the amount of games, the urgency with the bubble. Yesterday, Thursday and Friday are incredible. You get more games on this Thursday and Friday than you do next weekend in the tournament, but the tournament's the tournament. Like I get it, but it's why, I mean, I love this sport. I love this month. We get with this ramp up. It's just, there's nothing, no other sport has anything close to this. And you, because of stories like Ohio State, because of stuff like, let me transition here to the ACC, because of NC State. I mean, I love when we get to a semi and a high major league and you still got a bid thief out there. That is NC State. NC State is going to play Virginia late in the semifinal there. The other side of it is UNC playing Pitt. Pitt took out Wake Forest. It's another team that's a good story, and I thought it was so awesome for the ACC to recognize Steve Forbes and his family. Janetta, his wife, was there. The stroke, she's recovering from the stroke. His children were there. They were honored. It was incredible. And I don't think Wake Forest has the resume to get into the NCAA tournament. It lost to Pitt. Pitt is now trying to if Pitt wins against UNC Parrish, well, we're going to have a conversation about the Panthers. They are knocking on the door, and the ACC semis here on Friday night will bring just as much urgency as the Big East without question. And I'd love to know where you land, or if you took a peek at Pitt's case as of Friday morning, because it's been once or twice removed from the cut line for a long time, but you really start looking around. Beats UNC, GP, the case will be very compelling.
I still think they got work to do. I'll agree with you. We can talk about it if they beat UNC, but right now, you know, 9-8 in the first two quadrants, but they do have the two quadrant three losses. Only four quadrant one wins, and five of the losses are outside of quadrant one. They're close. I think a win over North Carolina gets you to what? 5-5 in quadrant one. Now you're 10-8 in the first two quadrants with two quadrant three losses. Yeah, they win that one. Beat North Carolina. I'm certainly happy to talk about it.
Now, if you're hearing those numbers and then you heard me say, you know, Michigan State is a perfect example. Why aren't they in? Because the committee obviously is evaluating these teams and these schools based on the overall difficulty of their schedules and non-conference. Pitt is 344 non-conference strength of schedule. It's not even close to the likes of, say, a Michigan State. So if you play easier teams, you're more likely to get those wins, obviously. And when you play easier teams and then you wind up with a couple of Q3 losses, those things weigh you down. So Pitt is actually a compelling case. If it beats UNC, It might well have a winning case, but a reminder to our viewers and our listeners, there is a long history, and I personally have zero issue with this because I advocate, and I think Parrish and I disagree on this, but I advocate for the selection committee, for the betterment of the sport, to punish the teams that don't schedule well in the non-conference. That are, these high majors are more than equipped to challenge themselves to the utmost end of their abilities, and for the ones that opt not to. And if you wind up in the 300s, I basically think there's no excuse. If you're a high major program and your non-con schedule winds up landing anywhere from 300 to 362, no excuse. And so if you wind up getting held out because of that, I personally have no issue with it. The sport needs to be better with the best games possible in November and December, and there needs to be incentive to have a high majors play games that actually matter and more of them. That could be what holds Pitt out. But if it beats UNC, I could very easily be swayed to have the Panthers in the field.
For what it's worth, Jerry Palm does have Pitt as the last team in as of this morning.
Look at that.
But if they were to lose, then, you know, I don't know that it would hurt you too much, but it certainly doesn't help to lose. It's not helpful to lose, even if it won't hurt you too much. But when you combine that with the likelihood of the bubble shrinking between now and Selection Sunday, being the last team in the field, according to Jerry Palm, before your last loss, if it is indeed a loss today, that's just, you're not going to feel real great. If they win, I think we can talk a little bit. They lose today, I think things get harder. And I want to be clear, everything you said about non-conference scheduling is true, and the committee does care about it. I don't think that should be held against you. I don't care how you schedule. I just care about what have you done. And if you get to Selection Sunday and you haven't done enough, well, then I'll say, well, you should have scheduled more aggressively. But if you've done enough to get in, like if your body of work is good enough to put you in, I would never then look at your non-conference strength of schedule and say, but look at this. I'm only looking at the body of work, so much so that when I'm doing the top 25 and one, I never look at strength of schedule or non-conference strength of schedule. I don't care how you schedule. I care what you've done. What have you accomplished? What have you not accomplished? So I think it's crazy that that is such a big factor in that room, or a factor at all. But it is something the committee cares about. And there is a list of schools over the years that were right on the cut line, and they get left out, and they bring the committee chair to the CBS Broadcast Center, and somebody asks him, hey, so this team was right there. What made you cut them at the last minute? And they say, well, if you look at their non-conference strength of schedule, it was 314. That happens it seems like every year. And if Pitt does get left out with a loss today, that'll probably be and somebody asked the committee chair on Sunday, that'll probably be the answer you get.
I think if Pitt beat, you know, I'm not going to go that far. I was going to say, I think Pitt beats Carolina, it's getting in for sure. I can't go that far with that non-con SOS. We'll see. I would be very swayed by its overall resume with the win over UNC, but it's got to beat UNC. We'll see about that. NC State getting to this round, obviously an inspiring story here for the Wolfpack. Kevin Keats has been on the hot seat, but as I wrote recently at CBSSports.com, I didn't think that he was going to lose his job. They've beaten Louisville, Syracuse, and now the win over Duke. Duke goes home. There's never been a national champion that lost its first first conference championship tournament game. So keep that in mind when you fill out your brackets next week. What league you want to go to next, GP?
Well, the SEC hasn't really got interesting yet because, you know, they're a day behind everybody else. Mm-hmm. Same thing, Big Ten, day behind everybody else. That's why we got quarterfinals today as opposed to semifinals today. We've touched on the Big 12. We've touched on the ACC. Mountain West Conference, that's lived up to expectations so far. First two games yesterday, I was in studio for those. Overtime and overtime. Semifinals today, Utah State, San Diego State, Colorado State, New Mexico. You willing to say New Mexico safely in now with a win last night?
I thought it was vital. I don't think New Mexico would have gotten in if it didn't win. But the fact that it was able to, and this was late on CBS Sports Network, late. But a good job by New Mexico to beat Boise State 76-66, and a clear victory here. Well, we'll talk Lobos again here in a few for the Final Four and one, but Jalen House, 29 points. And between him and Donovan Dent, it was very, very, very impressive. I was watching the majority of that game by the time I got back to the hotel and was able to key in on it. And so now, yeah, we've got, you know, San Diego State, Utah State. Those are just two teams that are trying to vie for really good seeds and help the Mountain West. The Mountain West was my lead of the court report this week. If you haven't gotten there yet, give it a read. I kind of gave an overall view of the league here and what it's done this season. New Mexico's tournament case. Let's break this down real quick, and then we'll pick their game in the Final Four and one. So New Mexico right now, as of Friday morning, 23-9 against Division I, 5 road wins, non-con strength of schedule, if you're curious, is 272. Not abysmal, not amazing. It has a 7-7 record in the top two quadrants, but it has a win and a loss in every quadrant. So 6-1 in Q3, 10-1 in Q4. If you want a little bit of a closer view on actually the teams, which I think is important because this is also what happens in the committee room. When they talk about this stuff, they're not just talking about quadrants. They're talking about who they've actually defeated. In the non-conference, there's no one of note, really. There just isn't. There's not a notable non-conference win for New Mexico. It is going on the strength of its league play, with the exception of it did win at New Mexico State, so that will get brought up. It does have a road win outside of league play. New Mexico State was not good this season. Inside the conference, it has, well, I'm looking here, who has it beaten? Has it beaten Boise? So the win over Boise on Thursday, GP, was its only win over Boise, but it's beaten Boise once, it's beaten San Diego State once, it's beaten Colorado State once, it's beaten Nevada once. It's got a road win at Nevada, and that's its biggest road win. I think it's close.
It's very close. Like, you know, Jerry's got New Mexico ahead of Pitt in his bracket, but you start looking at those bodies of work, there's not much difference between them. And really the main difference that New Mexico would have over Pitt is better computer numbers. You know, they're better in the net, better KenPom. These things don't necessarily matter much, but like you can go through year after year and look at, you know, just about every team that's in this range makes it, and these teams in these ranges don't. In that respect, New Mexico is going to have better computer numbers than Pitt, but I'm not sure the resume is that much better. How about this? If we're not certain Pitt's in already, I don't know that you can be certain New Mexico's in already.
I think that's correct, particularly because the loss totals are also very, very close. Pitt has 10 losses. New Mexico has 9. We figure both these teams will wind up with one more loss, so that'll be 11 versus 10. I think New Mexico is in the field as of this morning, but I would not get confident, especially like, and it can be, let me be clear on this. It can beat Colorado State. We'll save thoughts on that game because it's going to be in the Final 4-1. But the Mountain West, again, it was a really, really fun day. And apparently, judging by some tweets and stuff from folks that were on site, you know, Thomas Mack was incredible, and the environment was amazing there. I'd love to see that. CBS Sports Network is where you want to be on Friday night for both semifinals. Have we touched on I guess we've touched on everything other than real quick on the A-10.
Pac-12. Did we touch Pac-12?
Oh, that's true. Our, you know, it's winding down.
It's
here.
Easy to forget. It's easy to forget.
I guess
we got the Pac-12 in hospice care right now, and it's easy to forget. We're just trying to make it comfortable.
Well, you know, we've got Arizona, Oregon, and then Colorado, Washington State on Friday in the semis. Those are a couple. That's like, you know, I think Washington State Colorado is actually a pretty awesome game. And Colorado, if you want to leave no doubt, beat Washington State. That will leave no doubt. There's a number of leave no doubt games on the board here on Friday. But you know, there wasn't. I would say there's not an overwhelming amount of intrigue here. Stanford lost, and Jared Haas got officially fired within 8 minutes of the game going final. But yeah. Quite clearly, Jared Haas met with athletic director Bernard Muir a few days ago, and he was informed that, hey, listen, once this thing wraps, we're gonna let you go. And so that's how that went down. That staff knew going into the game if it lost, it was going to get fired. They were not sideswiped by any of that. But yeah, that's the Pac-12 here. If you're looking for the best final, you're looking for Arizona, Arizona, Colorado, or Arizona, Washington State. Frankly, they both be good. Washington State would bring a certain level of intrigue, but I, you know what? Mark me down. The Pac-12 will give us one awesome game here before it wraps. It's got three of them left, and at least one of the three is going to deliver, you know, a game in doubt with a minute to go. I've got belief in you, Pac-12. You can get it done.
Are you ready for an A-10 championship game on CBS between St. Joe's and Duquesne?
Is that where we're going?
I mean, who knows at this point?
You're gonna just doubt the VCU Rams, huh? You're gonna doubt a program that's proven so many times.
No, they won't. Don't start no stuff. Won't be no stuff.
You're looking to start some stuff right now.
I'm not trying to start stuff. I got my own little side beef with Zags. I can't be starting stuff with VCU too.
Yeah. So here's the deal: Richmond, the one seed; Loyola Chicago, the two; Dayton, the three; and UMass, the four. They're all done.
They should not have done that. That was not smart. They did not handle this tournament properly.
Tell me the last time a conference had all of its top four seeds fail to make the semifinals. I'm genuinely curious. How often has this happened? When was the most recent time? I know you don't know.
2013.
Is that when it happened, or are you just lying to me right now?
2013 NEC.
Really? Look at you.
I don't have any idea.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying things.
I don't. Okay.
Sometimes I say UMass Lowell, but.
Well, that's when I know. That's when I know you're. You're waiting. You're trying to filibuster for time here.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do have a bid thief. Bid thieves are cool, folks. St. Joe's, St. Bonnie's, Duquesne, VCU. Mark me down for VCU. I'll go with that. But you know what? Any of these teams get in, like Duquesne? Sure. Why the hell not? Give me Duquesne in the tournament. Why? Yes, absolutely. Keith Dambrot. Come on now. He may or may not retire. The idea that he can get Duquesne into the tournament. Trivia time, last time Duquesne made the tournament. I can't even tell you, dude. I'm going to look it up right now. Hold on.
That's not fair. Every Keith Dambrot trivia time, the answer has to be LeBron James.
Well, this one is not. Hold on. Trivia time, yes or no. Was LeBron James born the last time Duquesne made the tournament? I'll say yes. I'm going to blindly say it's like 97, but I don't know, or 96.
I'm going to say LeBron James was alive the last time Duquesne was in the NCAA tournament.
We're both done. We're toast, man. 77. 77.
I was alive the last time Duquesne was in the NCAA tournament.
I was not. Yeah, you were 7 years old, man. That's crazy. Yeah. Talking Head 77, by the way. It's a good record. Go find it. 77 was the last time that Duquesne made the tournament. Yeah, well, you know what? Let's go, Dukes. Let's go, Dukes. Let's go. Come on, Dukes. There we go. I don't have the board with me. We can get it done. I think that's a good little conference tournament whip around there for you.
All right. Let's call coaching carousel stuff briefly. Briefly, but first, one more word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, Deadleg, coaching carousel news. The big headlines, I think, Chris Holtmann is the new coach of the DePaul Blue Demons. Jerry Stackhouse is out at Vanderbilt. Mike Boynton out at Oklahoma State. You mentioned Jared Hess out at Stanford. Lamont Paris signed an extension with South Carolina. What do we need to know?
All right, let's go through this quick because, we got busy days here. But obviously this was this dominated more of my day than I wanted it to, frankly, on Thursday. But that's the news cycle, and it's to be expected. Holtmann to DePaul is the biggest one, in my opinion, because it was a hiring. It was a big hiring, and DePaul got the best qualified coach I think it could have possibly asked for overall. It's a big get. Now, DePaul has been a graveyard for coaches forever and has not made a tournament in 20 years. It's one of, I think, 20 programs at the high major level to ever go 20 years between tournament appearances. We'll see if he can get it done. I was told that basically, you know, in order for he was considering the job and in order for Holtmann to truly take the job, there were a number of requests, slash stipulations with this. Okay, if I'm going to do this, then can you meet condition A, B, C, D, E, F, and G? And apparently across the board, DePaul did that. So we wait and see. It, you know, Big East coaching, you know, probably and almost certainly gets stronger. He had success in this league at a time when there was no guarantee that Butler would be viable, but he did a good job at Butler. So he does return to the league. He will be coaching in Chicago. And, you know, to kind of just lift a cliche that gets used a lot in sports here. If he takes him to the tournament once, build a statue for the guy. Like that is basically it. Make one NCAA tournament, however many years you coach there, and you've done your job. I don't know if he'll do it. I do think this is a risk to Holtmann for just to, like, he carries, you know, he doesn't get enough credit. I think that's what I'm trying to say here. Yeah. But he does legitimately carry a reputation of being a pretty, pretty good coach overall. But if you go to DePaul and you just prove to be just another coach who couldn't get it done there, I actually think it would be detrimental to his overall, you know, reputation, track record as a coach there. But if he does do it, then all the more. He'll probably be able to springboard that to another big job some years down the road. What are your thoughts on Holtmann taking DePaul?
Well, we were in studio last night, and somebody asked me, is that really the best job he could have gotten? You know, like, that was the question. Like, you know, is that, should he have taken that? And I would just say, you know how this stuff works. Whether it's Chris or his representative, they had a pretty good idea of what's out there and what's not, and what's available and what isn't. And I'm certain if he took the job, he was convinced that for whatever reason, monetarily or otherwise, this one was too good to pass up under these circumstances. So I just always understand that these people are operating with a better understanding of the world spinning around them than we are. And I just don't think Chris Holtmann would have taken the DePaul job if he thought he could get a better situation somewhere else, you know, in 3 days. So I'm going to assume this is as good as it gets. And here's the thing about being the head coach at DePaul. You don't have to go finish in the top three in the Big East to prove anything. You head coach at Ohio State, you got to go to Sweet 16s and Elite Eights to prove something. At DePaul, like, can you be in the next four out today? If so, with a Big East tournament semifinal game tonight, you know, if so, now we're talking about statue stuff. And for DePaul, so for Holtmann, it makes sense just because he's a smart guy, and if he's doing it, I'm assuming it makes sense for him. And for DePaul, I think it's like maybe the best thing they could have done in terms of they're not looking for an up-and-comer or trying to hire a guy who, you know, can recruit Chicago or whatever things people have said about the DePaul job in the past. They just hired a real basketball coach. Like Chris Holtmann, like when this NCAA tournament starts next week, what I'm about to say will no longer be true, but it is true right now. He's coached in 7 of the past 8 NCAA tournaments. If you'd have told DePaul 5 months ago that its next head coach would be Chris Holtmann and or a man who has coached in 7 of the past 8 NCAA tournaments, they would have said, sign us up. So what are we doing? Celebrate. Good luck.
Yep, you laid it out very nicely and cleanly there. That was the big hire. The firings that you mentioned before, just quick thoughts on that. Mike Boynton being out at Oklahoma State did land as something of a semi-surprise, but did make one NCAA tournament in 7 years. I will say this, Boynton, you know, did coach and operate a program under the FBI situation and cloud that he, you know, inherited. And there was basically what, like a four and a half years of his time there were obfuscated by that. And you make one tournament in 7 years at Oklahoma State, like you're entirely entitled to move on. But I would say within the business, it was thought that because Oklahoma State weirdly just is not in a great money spot, that he'd get one more year, but they opted to move on. And candidates, we'll see. They obviously reached out to some folks yesterday, and I think in the next 48 hours we'll have more clarity on some actual viable candidates. Darren DeVries of Drake.
Give it to Doug Gottlieb. Isn't it about time? Let's go Doug Gottlieb.
He did interview last time when Boynton got the job. Sure, I mean, well, you know, I mean, do what you got to do. I don't care? Who gets the job?
Because couldn't you see Doug being the next Oklahoma State coach and then just fighting with people on Twitter nonstop too?
Yeah, true. I mean, you know, for the entertainment portion of the podcast, why not?
Let's do it.
But you know what? The Big 12 is going to get even better and deeper and bigger in a few months here. Oklahoma State this hire, you don't make the right hire here. If you get a guy and you just misfire, like it's very easy to look up in 3 years if it's not the right guy and you're just a bottom two team in this league. And OSU is working from a disadvantage from an NIL standpoint that is significant right now. Darren DeVries of Drake is a name. Our Borzello put out Buzz Williams, which I thought was interesting. Have gotten a little bit of an inkling on like maybe Buzz would be willing to look around. We'll see. I thought that fit might be decent. You're going to see Josh Schertz's name attached to everything because he coaches at Indiana State and he's a hot name. And frankly, if they don't make the tournament, he's going to be available for these interviews and he's going to be ahead in races where he might be equal or right behind a guy. If they don't make the tournament, they could go to the NIT share, but he's going to have that opportunity. And I think Schertz is going to get a look literally at like five or six spots there. Stackhouse out at Vandy. What's notable about this is that for a few weeks, there was a belief that Vanderbilt's buyout was so significant that how could Vanderbilt possibly be able to, because he did sign a new deal last year and the way that the contract was written out. I mean, some of these ADs, man, they just get absolutely worked.
Oh, God, I see all these extensions now, and I'm like,
I agree.
What are you doing?
And I had a conversation with someone yesterday about this. Hey, to the coaches, go get it. I don't care, by all means. But, like, Todd Golden's in his second season, and Florida's going to be like a 6 or a 7 seed. He wasn't going anywhere. Sure, give him a 2-year. But these extensions that happen left and right, like, by all means, I don't care. But removed from the situation entirely, like, these ADs get worked every single year. And the guarantee money is even more. So Stackhouse's deal – I was told, and if you told me they negotiated down a few million, I guess I believe that, because sometimes the way these things go, it does, so they can get it down just a little bit. But he's getting more than 15 million to leave Vanderbilt. And one source I spoke with said it was 20 mil, like in the neighborhood of $20 million. And the idea that you would ever allow a contract for a coach buyout, I don't care if it's the first year of a 9-year deal, to be that much is outrageous. Vandy will move on from Stackhouse. I want your thoughts on that, but quickly on candidates. Chris Mack, his daughter is actually a freshman at Vandy. He will definitely be in the mix there.
If I were Vanderbilt and I could hire Chris Mack today, I would do it.
And that might wind up being the case. Josh Schertz, Mitch Henderson, you know, high academic school, Princeton, he's done well. Mitch Henderson will be a candidate at there in Stanford. Kyle Smith, Washington State, has a background at Columbia. But he's actually involved in a few spots here right now. Vandy, a very tough job in what's been a better league. But I actually think whether it's Mac or whoever it is, Parrish, I'm actually pretty confident that whomever the person is that takes Vandy, like, we'll look up when however long that is from now, and we'll say, you know what, Vanderbilt actually, like, this could work. Even if it was Schertz and he doesn't have a huge track record, I think we will be satisfied with Vandy's hire. Your thoughts on anything connected to that opening?
Well, the thing to remember about a Vandy and a buyout, and I know money comes from different places, but like Vanderbilt has billions, yeah, bazillions. I'm going to go with bazillions. So like they can, these schools, it's like Stanford sometimes, you know, they say, well, like, well, how is Stanford going to afford? Stanford can afford anything at once. Stanford I know you might be uncomfortable throwing this type of money at a basketball coach or at a buyout, but is it there? Like, there are some schools where it's quite literally not there. You don't have it. But at a place like Vanderbilt, if you need $20 million, you can get $20 million. No problem. Or at least it's available. It's there. It's sitting there waiting on you. So in that regard, I understand the move. And Jerry is one of these guys who has a good reputation as like a coach and a basketball mind. It just didn't work at the collegiate level. Like, he's the type of guy I could see you look up in 5 years and he's a successful NBA coach. And you'll just be like, remember when he was at Vanderbilt and it just never really worked, but now he's coaching the Raptors in their third in the East. Like, I could see something like that. No problem. Yeah. With Mike, you know, it is what it is. I think we all like Mike at Oklahoma State, but you know, at some point it's a results oriented business. And I'm sure he knows that as well. Same thing with Jared at Stanford. It's just, you know, at some point you've been there that long, you hadn't done A, B, and C. And this is what happens.
Real quick. And then we'll make our game picks. Stanford opening. I think it's going to be Kyle Smith, or Matt Langel, who also could get a look at Vanderbilt. Langel got Colgate back in the tournament again. He'd be a good candidate for both those jobs. Kyle Smith, Matt Langel, or Mitch Henderson for Stanford. And frankly, those three guys are also been linked to Vandy. And then South Carolina having Lamont Paris sign the extension there. He just pulls out of the Ohio State search. There's a belief Dusty May is the leader there. Could well be the case. He's also getting looked at by Louisville. So we wait and see on all of that. Oh, by the way, his team's got to, you know, go play in the tournament still. So Thursday was active on the carousel. I think we'll get a little more action here today. I don't think it will be nearly as noisy. Knock on wood. Famous last words. I haven't read the story yet, but Katie Strang and Brendan Quinn of The Athletic put out a thing on Friday that indicated there was a third party who has looked into the culture of Michigan basketball. My understanding is either on Thursday or here coming Friday, Juwan Howard will actually sit down with university leadership to talk a few things out. I still lean that they will not move on, but I actually don't put it at 0%. And if we were to get a change, I would think it would happen before Selection Sunday, but there has been no indication that they're going to make a change there. But you know, it could be argued if there's going to be one more big domino, that might well be the one, but that is your, that is your carousel wrap up. We're already an hour into the Friday show before Selection Sunday. JP, do you want to get this Final Four and one done or what?
I do, but real quick on Juwan, like, okay. You know, I would certainly, like you, put it at above 0% that they make a move, and I would maybe put it higher than you at this point. Like a third party review, when they call in third party reviews, like people don't survive third party reviews so often.
It's true. And the thing connected to this is John Sanderson, the strength coach, who they basically pushed out because there was this issue with Juwan Howard and his son. He got hired officially by Illinois on Thursday. And that's like a big deal in the Big Ten. Like a strength, this is like college football level kind of stuff. Right. But also his son's a really good prospect. So in the Big Ten, like that's actually going to create noise and issues and people talking. It's like, oh, Illinois went and got Sanderson. And that stuff, you know, has ripple effects back to Michigan. So yeah, that everything surrounding all of Howard's issues, you know, they're still out there and they won't go away. He will need, if he does keep his job, he will absolutely need to make the NCAA tournament, if not be, you know, stronger than that next season in order to hold on.
All right, let's be pretty quick. Final Four and One presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook, make every moment more. I've been mounted, surmounted, fallen even further behind. I'm struggling. I'm like, oh man, I'm like Seton Hall. I'm limping into this. I'm like, it's been a little bit of a rough stretch for me. 46-43-3, that's my record. Deadleg, you're 49-40-3. That means you got a 3-game lead. But maybe today's my day. Game one, Friday, noon Eastern, Purdue, Michigan State, inside the Wally Szczerbiak Center here in downtown Minneapolis. You can watch it on the Big Ten Network. FanDuel's got it. Purdue -7.5.
Give me the Boilermakers to win. Give me the Boilermakers to cover. We have no drama between Sparty and Purdue in this game.
I see what you're doing. You know I'm part Boilermaker, and you know I can't pick against them, so you pick them on the same side.
You could have picked it first. I don't care. Do what you got to do.
No, you recognize that I'm part Boilermaker now.
Okay, so you're going tinfoil hat guy? Everything's a conspiracy against you?
That's right.
Normally works out well. All right,
I got out of studio last night. I watched the Aaron Rodgers interview, and now I know what y'all are up to.
Yeah, yeah. How long until you start having to put out statements on Twitter about things you did and don't believe? Yeah. Slow it down there, buddy.
That dude's wild, man. Why is he so wild? He needs to get off the internet for a minute. And I work in the internet, but like, buddy, close your computer for a minute. I'm a Boilermaker, for crying out loud. Purdue -7.5. How could I not go with that? Game two Friday, 5:30 Eastern. It's UConn St. John's inside the Latterly Slow Garden.
Nah, I don't know about that. I think that name has been eliminated.
Dude, this dude called his players laterally slow and physically weak, and they've never lost again. I love it. You can watch it on Fox. FanDuel's got it. UConn -9.5.
That's a big number.
That's a big number.
That's a big number.
That's a big number.
That's. Give me drama. Give me Huskies and Johnnies. Give me a game genuinely in doubt with less than 5 minutes to go. I want that building. I want the top off. I want the bedrock of Manhattan to shake. I will take St. John's to cover. Of course, I'm taking UConn to win. I will get give me St. John's to lose by 9 points or fewer.
I wanted St. John's, too. I want a good game, too. We want the same things. I'm taking St. John's for the same reason. Okay. I want to root for the physically disadvantaged Red Storm. They're physically disadvantaged in this game. They do not move this way or this way very well. They do not have big muscles like me.
Now you sound like a Dr. Seuss book. Let's go.
I want to root for the physically disadvantaged Red Storm.
I believe Parrish just said he's stronger than St. John's players. Can we put that to a test, by the way? Joel, you want to square up with Dennis Jenkins?
Yeah.
See how that goes for you?
And Soriano.
Yeah, Joel Soriano. How's that going to go for you?
Put Soriano right up there. Right up there. Like that. Game 3, Friday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Ohio State, Illinois, inside the Wally Szczerbiak Center. You can watch that one on the Big Ten Network. FanDuel's got an Illinois -4.5. Are they going to get
deep? Did Wally actually play in the building they're playing this game in, by the way?
Probably. Yeah.
Well, he's the I would think so, right? The Target Center's – I would think he did.
He's the king of the Target Center. He's Wally the Wolf. Wally the Wolf. He's Wally the Wolf.
Does anyone else call him that? Like, is that what you call him at the studio?
Yes, I walk in. I'm like, Wally the Wolf.
Oh, my God.
I don't call anybody by their real name. You're Dead Leg, Strong Jaw, Strong Jaw, Wally the Wolf.
I will go. It ends here for Ohio State. Yeah.
What?
I will go Illinois. Yeah. Yeah. That's here's your fun. Opportunity.
How can you pick one Illinois in the Big East semifinals, but then not pick fun in the Big Ten?
I know. I'm picking what I think is going to happen. I think it can be a fun game. It could be a fun game that goes down to the final minute, but, you know, there's a couple of foul shots, and Illinois wins by 5 in the cover, and that's how this gets done.
What more do you need to see from Diebler? What more do you need to see from Diebler?
I need to see a win against Illinois.
You're going to give me Diebler +4.5 points? What are we talking about? Diebler +4.5? Are you out of your mind? Give me Diebler +4.5. And in the graphic, I don't want it to say Ohio State +4.5. I just want Diebler's head there. Diebler +4.5. Game four.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I just want Diebler. I do not believe in Ohio State. I just believe in Diebler. I'm taking Diebler +4.5. I don't believe in the Buckeyes. I believe
someone
in Diebler.
The chat is asking if you're high right now.
I mean, I wish. Wouldn't it be fun? Oh, I look like an angel a little bit, don't I?
I know. Yeah, yeah. For someone who's, you know, get on my level, you are ascending once again to the higher region here. And it's whatever.
I look a little bit like an angel. Yeah, I've got Diebler +4.5. Game 4, Friday, 9:30 Eastern. San Diego State, Utah State, inside the Tark the Shark Center. You can watch it on CBS Sports Network. FanDuel has it San Diego State -3.5.
Really?
That is the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen in my life. That's Danny Sprinkle.
That is Danny Sprinkle.
That's Danny Sprinkle, reigning Mountain West Coach of the Year, coach of the top seed Aggies, and you're making them a 3.5-point underdog inside the Tark the Shark Center? That's disrespectful. I've never seen anything that's disrespectful before.
Maybe that's what they want you to think. Maybe that's what they want you to think.
I think what I want to think.
And that's what they want you to think. You ever think about that? Give me San Diego State.
That's disrespectful. I mean, it's Danny Sprinkle we're talking about.
It is. Yes.
You telling me I get Diebler and Sprinkle?
If Danny Sprinkle walked through your lobby right now and you were in there, would you recognize him by face?
Yes, I've been studying Danny Sprinkle.
Okay.
We're the same age.
Are you really?
Yeah.
He's not 54.
I've been studying Danny Sprinkle. You telling me I get Sprinkle and Diebler? You just allowed me to get Sprinkle and Diebler opposite you in the Final 4-1 presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, make every moment more. Have you lost your mind? I'm an angel.
I'm switching up the game. I'm switching up the game. All right, I'm switching up my game. I want to spread the conference love. Okay, and out of respect for the chat, let's do it. We're going to go. We're going. This is just too well. We're going NC State, Virginia, 9:30 Eastern. Because who the heck knows? The line is Virginia. FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Virginia -2.5 against the Wolfpack. NC State, Virginia is the Final Four in one game. NC State, Virginia. Virginia -2.5. And this game is in D.C. At Michael Jordan Arena. He was a wizard. Why the heck not?
Yeah, sure he was. Sure he was.
This hallowed ACC ground, former ACC player, Michael Jordan Arena. Okay, here we go. Who you got? UVA -2.5.
You're telling me I get Diebler, Sprinkle, and Keats plus points in the Final Four and one. That's what we're doing today? Have you lost your mind? Yes, give me the Wolfpack. They had that fella who stormed the court in a wheelchair. Oh, yeah, remember this, dude? And who was my guy last year that I loved so much?
I don't know.
What was my fella's name?
I mean, you could be referencing anyone at this point.
No. Nada. Help us. It's your hometown.
DJ Burns?
No.
He's still on the team. I don't know what you're talking about right now.
I fell in love with a Wolfpack last year.
I have no
clue. Turquavion!
Oh, okay. Turquavion.
Turquavion's playing for the Sixers right now.
See?
There
Turquavion.
We go. Do it for Turquavion.
Yes. Okay. You telling me I get Keats, Sprinkle, and Diebler on a Friday? It's over with.
You're taking State? It's you know what? I'm with you. Virginia?
They're going to win 37-35.
No, I'll say they get to 50. I'll say they get to 50. We will both ride with State. Someone in the chat has asked for fun for us to pick the over-under here. The over-under is 121.5. I'd
put the total at 17.
This is an Iowa football situation at the moment here.
Yes.
Okay. Under, for sure. So we both got the wall. Woo! There we go. Got the wall. There you go. You got to get the fingers up and down. If you're listening, you don't know what we're doing. It's Friday morning. Got a huge, massive slate of games here.
Biggest slate.
We will be back Sunday night at some point. Who knows? Late Sunday, break down the bracket. We're going to be on fire. It's going to be amazing. And can't wait. Can't wait to get to this field. This next 72 hours is just incredible. I think that's all I got.
Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry M.F. and Teagle, legend. Huck Marnell. Thank you guys once again for watching, listening to the Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. There's more of us than there are of them. That's got to be reflected in the comments. SmackDown live tonight from FedEx Forum in downtown Memphis. Get your ones up, Deadleg.
No shot.
Acknowledge me. Acknowledge me, Deadleg. Acknowledge me. We'll talk to you again on Sunday. Till then, take care.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.